Now when he heard that John had been arrested, that's Jesus hearing that John the Baptist had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and he dwelt in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, toward the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of John, a son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. In our liturgy and in our anthem, we have heard that the ministry of Jesus extended from Galilee through the church and into the world. Let us pray. Loving God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We pray that your Spirit be present here, that we might sense what you are saying to us. Tug at our hearts. Move in our lives. We thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. There was an article in Reader's Digest called, "What Good is a Tree?" And in that article, it talked about many things, but about the roots of trees. And that sometimes in the forest, when the roots of one tree will come across the roots of another, that there is an unknown fungus in the ground that causes the roots not to be in competition with one another, but this fungus allows for the tips of the roots to bond in such a way that water and nutrients are shared. The author of that article said it's amazing that through the roots being connected as a result of this fungus, that maybe water source here is keeping a tree alive over there through the interconnection of the roots. And perhaps the whole forest might be connected. I'd never heard anything like that. But what that says to me is that that is, for me, an image of what the church is like. For the church is a system of connection. We had a rummage sale here this week. And part of what this church does is to collect things all year long, sell things at incredibly low prices, that helps a lot of people who come here. They see those items and those treasures, things that are needed, are acquired at a very low price. In fact, when Pastor Sandy started her announcement time by saying, "You all look so good after the rummage sale," she meant physically. But what I took was, "You all have new clothes on because of the rummage sale." But our rummage sale helps in a lot of ways. It allows us to clean out garages, allows us to share, allows us to make things available to people who need those things at a very inexpensive cost. And then at the end of the day, what is not sold, there's a few. Sometimes we box up some of the things that are really good quality and save them for next year. But the vast majority of the stuff is boxed up, and we call another charity. Yesterday it was St. Vincent de Paul. And they came with a big truck, and they loaded that thing to the brim. There was no room for anything else. And this is what the driver said to me. He said, "I love this church that you share what you have left from the rummage sale with another charity." He said, "It goes to us, and then we make it available to people who need things, things that you didn't sell. Then even more people are helped." And that driver said, "You know, this is the kind of church I'd like to visit." And then the other person who was helping him came by and said the same thing. "Yeah, I think I'd like to visit this church." The rummage sale is sort of a mini view of the whole church, because it means so many things to many people, and not everybody connects to it in the same way. Someone said to me yesterday, who was working the rummage sale, "You know, when I first came to this church, I was new to this area. I didn't know anybody in the church." And that's kind of an awkward thing when you come to a church, you don't know anybody. She said, "I signed up for the rummage sale as a way to do something and maybe meet people." She said, I worked with two ladies who have become two of my best friends. And she said, "The next year I signed up again and I made two more best friends." The rummage sale is like the church, in that we say in Scripture that the church is made up of so many different people with so many different gifts, so many different talents, so many things to offer. And that is by God's design. And that the church is not complete until all of us pitch in with whatever gift, whatever talent we have. I read this week a writing of a Christian author who said this. He said, "Sometimes folks are uncomfortable with the term witnessing or discipleship or sharing faith." And he said that there was a woman in his church who said to him, "Pastor, I can't do discipleship. I get tongue-tied. I just can't communicate. I can't share faith." And she says, "But what I do, and I do well, is I bake cakes. And every time there's a church function or an outreach or a craft fair kind of thing, I bake cakes." And the pastor said to her, "Maybe that's your gift. Maybe that's your talent. And it's not in speaking to a group. It's baking the best possible cakes that you can." The rummage sale is full of people who do different things. Some people drive up, drop off their stuff, drive away, and that's their contribution. Other people pick it up, sort it, and that's their contribution. They go to the various departments. Some people work the departments. Some people work the kitchen. Some people greet folks. And some people set up tables and chairs. There's a lot to be done. And the result is that ministry takes place, and witnessing takes place. Because so many people who come here say, when they meet me, they say, "Pastor, your people are so friendly. Your people are so helpful." And all of us, I had a number of people who worked the rummage sale say, people said, this seems like a nice church. Perhaps I'll come to church here sometime. We have made our presence known in many ways. The rummage sale helps people, and it allows us to meet people, to be friendly, and to be known in our neighborhood. When we do powwow, the food distribution, again, it's a way to help people, meet people, and it's a way for the church to be the church. Our scripture lesson reminds us that life isn't always easy. And because it's not easy, God is needed all the more. But sometimes it's hard to communicate that outside of the church and outside of the ways that I have described. In our story, John the Baptist, wonderful guy. What was his mission in life? To share Christ, to share that the Messiah was coming. And he was imprisoned for speaking the truth. And as we go through Matthew, we'll get to that story in the 14th chapter. But John the Baptist was imprisoned and eventually executed. Jesus, his cousin, the Messiah, who was in the Jerusalem area because he was baptized at the Jordan River. And when he heard that John was imprisoned by Herod the king, and you remember Herod and Herod's dad from the time of the Christmas story, and the reason that Mary and Joseph and Jesus had to flee and go live in Egypt for a while, when they've come back, and Herod is up to his old tricks. Jesus goes up north, getting away from the city, moving up north towards Nazareth. But he doesn't stay in Nazareth. Remember Nazareth? That's where he grew up. After the years in Egypt, the next years were at Nazareth, where his dad was a carpenter. And when he began to share in ministry, his own neighbors rejected him. How could this guy do all that when this guy was that little boy we saw running around here? Not respected in his own community, he made his way to the very tip, the north of the Sea of Galilee, there by the sea, leaving his footprints in the sand. There he began his ministry, and there in Galilee he would stay all the years of his ministry until his final return to Jerusalem to face his death. It was in Galilee that he carried on the mission started by John the Baptist. Look at the front of your bulletin cover. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." You're going to say, okay, Pastor, we already heard about this repentance stuff. You talked about that with John the Baptist. Here's what the Bible says. Jesus began with that message, the same message John the Baptist had. Repent. And what does that mean? What does that mean? One biblical scholar says, why do we complicate it? Why do we make it more than it is? Repent simply means turning from this way, turning to God instead. Turning from seeking our own way to know that God has something rich and special for us. Repent simply means changing directions towards God. Repent. Give up those old ways and at least turn around and look in the right way. Look to God. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now we get confused. Kingdom of heaven, what does that mean? It's like the term kingdom of God. What does that mean? Quite simply, kingdom, there's a king, Jesus. You remember the story that when we talked about the three wise men or the wise people, we said it could be men and women who brought three gifts. So I'm correcting myself, not three wise men, people who brought three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold was a gift that you would give to a king. Jesus is seen as the Son of God, the third part of the three gifts, the king. So the kingdom of God is God's way of doing things. The kingdom of heaven simply means, as we think about heaven as our eternal resting place, our place where we will be with God forever, it's a little bit of heaven down here on earth. It's a little bit of heaven down here. The kingdom of heaven is what Jesus was calling his people to do when he said to them, repent. It also says that Jesus taught. We so often communicate faith by how we live. We communicate faith through a rummage sale, through powwow, through our various committees in the church that help people, PAP and worship and missions and all that we do. All of that communicates. When I was here working the rummage sale yesterday, my wife Debbie had a different ministry. And we talked about that this morning. One of our daughters needed time with mom. One of our daughters who's planning a wedding needed time with mom. And they spent the day talking, crying, preparing. Debbie was ministering to our daughter. That's witnessing. That's being present. I am told that former President Ronald Reagan, I have read that his daughter, Patty Davis, said this, that after her dad was shot in that attempted assassination, and the whole family was stunned and angry, that Ronald Reagan said to Patty, "You know, I know that the first step in my healing, I know that for the healing to work fast and for me to get on my feet the quickest, the first thing I need to do in the healing process is to forgive John Hinckley." Patty Davis wrote that those words did more to instill Christian thinking in her mind and understanding of Christ and God and forgiveness than any sermon or Sunday school lesson could have taught. Her dad showed by example the understanding that though harm was done to him, he had to forgive in order to be healed. We need to forgive in order to be healed. We need to trust God. We need to allow God to use us as the church to make our world a better place. I'm going to close with this. As a pastor who writes sermons, I need to look at a lot of material and read different things, and a lot of what I read I never use. This week, though, in preparing for this sermon, I came across something I read, and it was painful to read. I closed the book and said, "No, God, we're not using that one." And that book came up again. I opened it, and there was that same story. This is the story. For one who has been to Africa, been to the country of Zimbabwe, seen the wonderful work that our church has done in building Africa University, orphanages, schools, water treatment facilities, things at our church. When we collect offering each week, we don't realize that a portion of that goes to that sort of thing. And being in Zimbabwe, seeing how the church has changed lives was just really moving for me. And this is the story. Judy Anderson is the child of a missionary who served in Africa, but in the country of Zaire. And she said this, as a little girl, she remembers being at a celebration in Africa of 100 years of Christian missionaries in that part of Zaire. And they were having this celebration when this old man walked up to the podium and said, I must speak. And they said, well, no, sir, you're not on the agenda. He said, I'm an old man. I must speak, for when I die, my story dies with me. So they let him speak. And Judy Anderson says, as a little girl, her life was profoundly affected by what she heard. For this man got up and he said, I remember that when the missionaries first came, that the council who served didn't understand who these strange people were with this unusual message. And he said, the tribal leaders made the decision that they were going to poison the missionaries to see how they would respond. And this old man got up and he said, and they did. They poisoned the food of the missionaries. And the ones who got sick and died were the children. But he said this, we were testing them. But what we saw in how they died, we wanted that to be how we lived. That they saw Christ in the people. They saw something special and different in how they handled death. That those very same village leaders who chose to poison them made the decision that as a whole, the village would turn to Christ. And they became Christians. I stood in a cemetery in Zimbabwe. And as I stood there, we went to look at the headstone of a Methodist bishop, an African, who became the first bishop in Zimbabwe, who also then was elected prime minister, and for a short time served both as bishop and prime minister in Zimbabwe. So seeing his grave marker and then walking around, I was just stunned by all the headstones of all the missionaries who had died in Zimbabwe. Most of them from Europe, who went to Africa to share the same message of repentance, turning to God, seeking God's ways, understanding the kingdom of God was for them. And so many of these missionaries died in the field. But the result of their work, right next to the cemetery, an elementary school. Hundreds and hundreds of little kids coming out singing hymns. And they came around us. And next to the elementary school was a junior high. It was the Methodist elementary school and the Methodist junior high. And just down the road from that was the free clinic, sponsored by Methodists from all around the world. And just down the road from that stood Africa University in a part of Africa that is just devoid of higher education. And there stood Africa University, built by people of faith from all over the world. The Switzerland dormitory, built by Switzerland Methodists. The agricultural building, built by Methodists from the annual conference in Iowa. And so many examples like that. Perhaps we don't go overseas and preach and teach, but we can support those who do through the church. And perhaps we don't go downtown Phoenix and deal with homelessness, but we can support the efforts of the church that does do that and the people who do. And for the teenagers who come to the Sidewalk Sunday School, to give them a $20 gift card and to say Merry Christmas from your church. It's just one little thing we can do. We are people of faith. As a church, we are called to make a difference. Praise God for this church, for you are making a difference. Let's celebrate what we have done and know there is so much more to do. Let's be Willowbrook strong, face our future knowing that with everything that we do in the name of the Lord, God will give us 10 more things to do. Are you up for the task? I am. Let's do it. Amen.